I don't know what she was talking about, having a bad voice. Father in heaven, I ask you so very much to remove anything in my heart that is not pure. Let the message that we have today be a sweet sound, a bell that we may hear. I pray, Father, that the heart that we have will have the courage to accept. And Father, lastly, I ask that we have the feet that are willing to travel out there and take that message to the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lydia, great job. Also, it's very nice to have a pianist. You know, come on. Come on. That's good stuff now. You are the expert. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 was read. Tells us to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end. We are instructed by God to share His message of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are sure that He, God, is there with us till that very end. Then why do we not share that message? What's holding us back? What obstacles are in front of us that keeps us from going out there? Why do we not have the confidence to go forth? I like it, go forth. Are you concerned that maybe your walk is not quite in step, that you're not perfect? You know, there's a lot of things in this world that causes us not to succeed. And some of those things, those obstacles are, is that we don't feel worthy. We don't feel perfect enough. How can I go talk to my brother about something that's in his eye and I know that I got a big plank in mine? I know it's there. Do I have doubt in my capabilities, or do I doubt my value? A reminder to you is that you're the person that Jesus tells us that He was sent by His Father for you. In fact, Jesus tells us that were you the only person in this world that would accept the gift, His Father would have sent Him to die for you. Thank you. Thank one. He would have done it for one. Yes. You're that one. This doubt that we have is not from God. It's from the adversary. When we have doubt, it is Satan that's working on you and me to diminish our impact around those around us. God says that you can do all things through Him. Satan tells you you can do nothing. You have no value. God says there's nothing that you can't accomplish. Satan says there's nothing you should even try. You know, there's a lot of different denominations out there in this world, which leads us to this question. Why are you here today in this church? Why did you choose today to come to this church? You could have stayed in, woke up tomorrow, could have gone to church, been surrounded by God-fearing people. What assurances that we have in our thinking that we have this gospel that is spoken of and about in the Bible. Why did you choose this church today? We know that other churches, they think of themselves as following the true gospel. They follow it as their heart leads them. You know that the church wouldn't, they wouldn't be going to all that trouble if they didn't think that they were following this gospel. But I ask you again, why this church today? It's simple. You know that God raised his church to proclaim the present truth that the three angels' message we find in Revelations 14, 6 through 12. You've got a little bit more light, I think. Your flashlight has maybe a wider beam. You're using LED. Using a white light. You see a little bit more clearly. You see that three angels' message, and something about that three angels' message is touching here. Let us read in Revelations 14, 6 through 7, and see what this message is found. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and spring water." Let's look at that verse 7. Worship him that made the heaven, the sea, and spring water. I ask this question. What does the fourth commandment cover? Something similar to that? Is there a correlation with what the three angels' message has and our fourth commandment has? I'd say so. The fourth commandment that tells us to remember that he created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. How will God's people be known at the end time? They will remember. Are you remembering? Do you remember who created this world? Let's look at the end of the three angels' message found in Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Though not of our own doing, but that of the Holy Spirit, we can keep the commandments of God if we trust in him. With the Holy Spirit in you, you can do all things. You can get victory over everything if you only allow God into your heart. The more that we can get rid of our own self and make room for the Holy Spirit, those Ten Commandments aren't a big deal. Yes, there's a lot of denominations and many with aggressive outreaches and evangelism programs. Good things are happening in churches around us. You got to know that. Every once in a while, I have an opportunity to go visit with my sister in Lumberton. She belongs to the First Baptist Church in Lumberton. She'd be singing, and I'll have an opportunity to go in fellowship. Oh, good stuff going on in that church. I'm telling you, they're busy. They're doing God's work. Is there one church, though, out there that's heralding this three angels' message? Because you got to know, it's getting near the end. Listen, the cake has been cooked and it's time to put some icing on it. It's almost done. Is that church that's heralding this three angel message, is it you and is it in your church? Is that why you're here today? You know, I've spoken before about, you know, these giant churches. Y'all know these churches are out there. You know, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000 people to a church. Some of them seem to have something similar. They're talking about how to get fulfilled with what the life on earth is about. Their message is how to get along in this world today. How to grow in with your neighbors and how to get along better with your employees and your employer. How to navigate this earth. How to be satisfied with those things that you have and how to get more. They teach all this. They also teach you how to not challenge those around you too. They teach you not to challenge others to keep the commandments of God, but rather be satisfied with your own peaceful existence. You know, a hardcore Adventist, you can't hardly sit next to them without them causing you to challenge yourself. As soon as you get close to a Seventh-day Adventist, I'm certain of it, you will cause your neighbor to question whether or not they're on the right path if you're doing your job. But if they're out there in the world with all those shenanigans and all that tomfoolery, and you just seem to accept it all you want, I don't think you're doing your job. You got to challenge them lovingly. The Adventist church speaks of this world being temporary, and that the eternal life that we are looking for, that's your goal. That's this church's goal. I'm not concerned about what the world has got for me today, because I know it will pass away. We look not to focus on improving our lot here on earth, but to be assured that our pathway to heaven is clear. Every day, let's wake up and let's remove some obstacles that will cause us to stumble. Smooth. We want a smooth path. It could be narrow and it could be up a hill, but let's not put more obstacles than we have to. If you're in a hurry, don't put hurdles in front of you. Let's remove those hurdles. Our want is to give the message that Jesus has demanded of us, to tell his story and know what he has done for us all. If we only allow him, him. Whatever our church is doing then, first and foremost, needs to be leading as many people as possible to God's eternal kingdom. You know, whether we call it evangelism, spreading the gospel, present day truth, our concern is to tell the Jesus story. With the intention that people will accept him as Lord and Savior, and then they become disciples and they tell others the Jesus story. We want the Jesus story to be like a common cold. We want to spread it around to everybody. We want everybody infected with that, right? If you're not passing on that Jesus infection, you need to be a carrier. Here's where you and I come in. We are the experts. No one knows your and my story better than you. Our challenge must be to make all that we do as a church relate to the core business of reaching the lost with the everlasting gospel. You know, in my former life as a manager, you know, I had a chance when I ran the business. There was times I needed a service, whether I needed a plumber or electrician or somebody clean, you know, somebody to clean the place at night or super clean. I would always call the professional. I would call somebody who was generally not the cheapest, and I had to be patient. And when she showed up to fix my plumbing needs, I'd have her nice cool water or soda, and I have the area all nice and clean because I wanted her to do her job. I wanted her to walk in like a surgeon and fix my plumbing issues, and then she would leave. And then send me a very big bill. But I chose her And I chose him because that's what they did. They were professionals. That's all they did. This wasn't a side job. Their job was plumbing. And when you asked her, Karen, you meet her in a grocery store. Karen, how you been doing? I've been plumbing. How's business? Plumbing's good. So you plan on doing any vacation? I'm busy plumbing. Karen was a plumber. That's what she did. Also, so she was a professional. But I must say this, as a restaurant manager, when it came to hiring people, the most successful people in my profession weren't the ones that had a lot of experience. They were ones that were willing to let me teach them how to be a cook, how to be a waiter, how to be a bus person. If they allowed me to teach them their roles, they were the best employees I had. They made a lot of mistakes. New people, young people, are willing to make mistakes. If you allow them, they'll make mistakes. And their successes are sitting on a mantle built upon mistake after mistake after mistake. Because those victories cost them something and they remember it. They are the experts. They're built upon the mistakes that we all make. You are an expert because who you are is based upon the mistakes you have made. No one knows the story of your life, where you were. In fact, we even talked about that at Sabbath school today. No one knows your story better than you. Where you were, where you are, and where you expect to be. No one knows it better than you. And an active church is made up of many experts. And these experts need to share their experiences. It doesn't do me any good if our lead elder, our first elder, doesn't coach and mentor me. He's useless to me if he doesn't mentor me. If Dio, being the Sabbath school superintendent, doesn't share his experiences with me, he's not helping me. I need to be mentored. Each one of you need to mentor me on your experiences so that I don't have to experience some. Let my mantle not be quite as filled with as many mistakes. Let me nail that mantle up there with my trophies of victories built on some of the mistakes you made that I remembered. This congregation is fortunate to have many talented committee people doing God's work in this church. Our first elder, very competent. Our head deaconess, the treasurer, are experienced in their job responsibilities. While evangelism and witnessing are the personal responsibility of each believer, the whole body of the church and its believers has a corporate responsibility as well. Each member contributes to the evangelistic goals and strategies of the local church. Precious people are one to Christ when we work as a corporate entity. Side by side, working side by side. Here's the key. If the individual expert doesn't contribute, the church's mission can fail. The church is the individual. Make no mistakes. You are the church. You're the congregation. You don't show up, we don't have a denomination. When you're not here, you're missed. When you're not here, you're denying us an opportunity to fellowship with you. You're also denying me an opportunity to find out or to hear about your experiences. Our leaders and speakers have assisted us in better understanding our spiritual gifts that we all have. We've gone through that. Many of us have the opportunity to go to those seminars, or the pastor's been up here and they've given us a good outline of how do you discern what your gifts are. It's vital, however, to not only encourage members to discover how they are gifted, but also to promote them using them. If you don't challenge people around you to use those gifts, what's a gift for? You know, as a worship director, there's some of us that have been blessed and challenged to be in charge of a worship service. Don Pike is in charge of this week's service, and so there's times where I've called, I asked somebody to sing special music, to read the scripture, to let's say tell a children's story, whatever. You know, I have never once had someone tell me no. And I've been doing this for many, many years to coordinate. I've never had anybody tell me no. Now, I've had some people crab walk on me, that sidewalk kind of stuff, because they questioned their value. They questioned whether or not that they had the worthiness of it, or there was always the thing where I'm not going to be out of town and such like that, legitimate reasons. But I've never had anybody tell me just flat no. But I've seen a lot of apprehensions. Because they feel like, they don't want to mess up. What they don't understand, that in my mind, if I call you and ask you to tell the children's story, you're the expert in my mind for that. And the Holy Spirit has directed us to call upon you. So if the Holy Spirit does a knocking and says, now's your turn to step up, have confidence that it's going to be okay. By the way, we had a good children's story today. That was a good one. I like that one. If I may, there are three types of people in this world. I have a long litany of three kinds of people in the world. But I'm going to give you one of those sets right now. There are those that make things happen. There are those that watch things happen. And there are those that ask, what just happened? A church that's following the direction of Jesus that Jesus gave us is certainly filled with more people that are making things happen. A church can get by for a while having a lot of people that watch it happen. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a church that's still there, that's filled with a bunch of people asking, what just happened? You got to be paying attention. You got to be engaged. Evangelism and witnessing. We need to understand what evangelism and witnessing are. Evangelize in the American English Language Dictionary described as to instruct in the gospel, to preach and convert to the belief in the gospel, to instruct in the doctrines and precepts of the gospel. The church should be suited and prepared to share the beliefs and doctrines of the true gospel. The church always needs prepared to evangelize. There are so many here today that had a part of this church's evangelism effort. I mean, we had the greeters that were out front wishing people a wonderful, happy Sabbath this morning and made sure that they had the bulletin. We had our AV booth that was here 2 hours before anybody else showed up. And we had the AV booth here last Sunday probably working on it. I mean, they're always here trying to make sure that this stuff works. We have so many people are engaged making this church happen. This church is filled with people that are making things happen. And if you're one of those people that have a tendency to sit back and watch it happen, I invite you to change that demeanor. Get engaged. And don't ever be one of those people ask what happened. That means that you were nodding off during the sermon. None of you were paid to do what was done today, but everybody here that had something to do with this worship service is an expert. You fulfill the roles to the best of your ability with the support and direction of the Holy Spirit guiding you. Evangelism is so very important to the future of this church. It is our role as the children of God to share the gospel to all. Are you involved with this church's outreach? If so, can you do more? No one better than you can tell the story of how you came to be here in God's house today. No one can share the changes in your life after Jesus came to be first in it. A witness is one who gives a testimony, one who attests to something that he or she knows from personal experience. You know, there are descriptions I will offer later to clarify what a witness is. But I'm going to tell you something about being a witness is all about attitude. I'm going to tell you all a story. Very seldom can you talk about horse manure in a church service and it be appropriate. But you're in for a treat. Three people in a hallway. Into the hallway is a door to a room. The first person walks down the hallway, opens the door, and sees a big pile of horse manure. They close the door and quietly walk away. The second person walks down the door, down the hallway, opens the door, walks in, sees a big pile of horse manure. I'm not cleaning that up. Slams the door, walks away. Now the third person walks into the door, opens it up, sees a big pile of horse manure. A pony! And starts digging in there looking for the prize inside. It's all about the attitude. Our attitude toward others can cause a great individual story to not be heard. Being a Christian does not mean there will not be tough times. And it does not mean there will not be times where you're unsure as to how to proceed or even react to life's circumstances. It doesn't mean that this world's sins do not affect you or those that you love. But you see the world as Christ wishes that you see this world. A world that is temporary. A world that no matter what is thrown at you, we know how it will end, and that ending is wonderful. Do we need to be reminded that in that room full of horse manure, there's a pony in there somewheres? We just need to shovel a little of the manure out of the way, maybe getting a little dirty ourselves, but in the end, our prize is there, just as Jesus has promised us. A Christian's personal testimony regarding the work of God in their life, or his life, can be very powerful. We find in Mark chapter 5, specifically verse 18 through 20, the story of a demon-possessed man. Jesus rids the demons out of this man. This man wants to follow Jesus, and Jesus tells him, no. Go. Go and tell your friends what I have done for you. Let them know that I have compassion on him. Now here's Jesus sending a man away with no formal instruction, no direction, no specifics. He just says, go and tell. Go and tell. I'm telling you, go and tell. You're the expert. Go tell people about what he's done for you. You're the expert. In relationship between witnessing and evangelism, we can say that they are essentially just different strategies for reaching the same goal of winning souls for Christ. Witnessing is a little more spontaneous, short-term. Have all the confidence in the world that you are the expert of what Jesus has done for you. He's proven that already. Jesus can make us all experts if we only accept. Why do we not have the faith that we are chosen to do God's work? Could it be that Satan is working on us to ensure that we have doubts, that God even desires this for us? If I may, I'd like to give you some background of some prominent people in the Bible. We're very fortunate. We have a book here that's filled with people that have a lot of mistakes made, and yet their mantle is filled with a bunch of victories based upon and built upon a lot of mistakes made within. The apostles Andrew and Peter were lowly fishermen, as well as the brothers James and John. Now, you know the brothers James and John, they had a nickname, Sons of Thunder. That's not a nickname for two men that had a mild demeanor, okay? Matthew belonged to the Jewish class of tax collectors. Oh, tax collectors. That's no good. When Jesus first called Matthew, he was sitting at a tax collector's booth. Tax collectors were considered unclean by these people. Fishermen were considered second class, low on the scale of hierarchy and the public prominence. When we look at Paul, who was a very educated man, but who was also responsible for the arrest, the persecution, and even the death of a Christian. He was there when Stephen was stoned. But after Paul's conversion, who is the most prolific New Testament writer, we see someone who, after Jesus has come to their life, is a very competent person to share the same gospel that he so fervently attacked before his road to Damascus. King David was a small boy. He was taking care of his father's flock. He becomes king. In fact, to this day, still, historically, Israel looks as King David's reign is the finest reign that was, arguably, even to his son Solomon. And David was a murderer. David made a lot of mistakes in his life. But nonetheless, he was a man after God's own heart. We got to stop measuring ourselves. Let God worry about measuring you. Okay? You've got every reason in the world to go out there and tell people about your story. Don't worry about your worth. Let Jesus worry about that. That's his job. I'm going to finish with one final example in the scripture. One of the Old Testament prophets, Amos. He's considered one of the minor prophets. Amos is not minor to me. If you read his book, in fact, he was part of our Sabbath school lesson today. Amos was. How are you supposed to care for those that are needing? What's the responsibility of a Christian is to care for the needy? Amos brought that about. We find, I paraphrase this in Amos 7, 14, 15. I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of the fig tree. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said, go prophesy to my people Israel. Amos was quite open with admitting his lack of qualifications for being a prophet. There was nothing about his pedigree. There was nothing about his education. He's published in the good book. He's one of the best sellers. In closing, we find the writings of Ellen White in Christian service specifically. Our confessions of his faithfulness is heaven's own chosen agency of revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. You're the expert. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the work of the power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others, and their experiences differing from all others will resonate with someone. We have people in our church. Wednesday night Bible study. Robert and I were in we had a conversation. And Robert shared with us something about his life where God directly intervened with his life. And he told us where he was and where he is now. And it touched me. Dio is always telling us. In fact, he told us a little bit more about himself today at Sabbath school lesson. You know, as I keep bringing up Sabbath school lesson, y'all missing out. There's some stuff going on there. Dio tells us where he was and where he is today. And it resonates with you. How could it not? These people that are willing to share a little bit about their life is all the example we need to know that God is working in all of our lives. He doesn't just worry about me, he worries about everybody. Your story is compelling and interesting. It may help another on their path at the time in their life where they are needing a voice. You are the expert. Now go and evangelize and witness to others as others have shared their stories with you. Father, thank you so much. Father, I ask so much, Father, that you will be with us and guide us and direct us. Please carry this message to our hearts. Father, don't let Satan cause obstacles to be in our way. We need to know, Father, that we are sent by you and we are your messengers. Let us not worry about our value. We need to know what your value is, and that is you are the Creator. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.